Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. I have two guests this morning. My first guest is Casey Cotulla, and Casey's with a couple of printing companies. One of them's in West Sacramento called Delta Web Printing, and he has a sister business in Rancho Cordova called River City Printers, and he's just made an acquisition at the beginning of April, and the business was called Paul Baker Printing. I thought it was Paul Baker Printing, but I wanted to say it correctly. Casey's a mover and shaker, so I thought it'd be interesting to have Casey come on board and talk about what's happening in the fairly conservative printing industry. Casey's my first guest. My second guest will be RJ Cecchetti, and RJ's a regional developer for Northern California for a company based in Roseville called Massage Heights. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk to RJ. He's a regional developer, which means he doesn't own the franchise concept, but he has responsibility for a territory, and his territory is the Northern California Territory here in Northern California Territory. And he has a retail location for his own business that he operates in Roseville. And I thought we'd talk to RJ about being a regional developer, regional director, and what's happening in the massage industry, because that's where he's spending his time. So those are my two guests this morning. If you're listening to the show and you're out driving and we're going too fast for you, you're welcome to visit my website. Each show I record each week is available on my website, and you can go to the website www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, and there's a black ribbon across the top with the different drop-down menus. One of them says Media, and if you click on the Media tab, a little drop-down will open up called 105.5 FM. And guess what? All these shows that we've been recording over since February are available. And there's some interesting guests. That's part of the reason why I put the show up on my website, is that I have a variety of guests. We're talking about different topics. So you're welcome to go to the website and download the show if you'd like to listen. And I've got a brief introduction to each show so you can see the guest and the topic they're talking about. So what's this show about? This show is about what's happening in Northern California for entrepreneurs. It's for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information on what to do and how to take action. So we're about entrepreneurs and helping them take action. The topics we cover include legal issues, tax, accounting, finance, sales and marketing, anything to do with owning and operating a small business. Or as I like to say, it's where Wall Street meets Main Street. Again, my name's Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and host of your show. I'm certified with the California Association of Business Brokers, and I'm also certified with the International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise. And when you've made your fortune, you need to know how to get out, and that's what you need my fourth book for, which is Successfully Sell Your Business. If you want to know more about selling a business or buying a business or buying a franchise, please visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, or you're welcome to give me a call, nice and simple, 916-570-2674. And again, if you'd like to download the show, please visit my website, go to the Media tab, 105.5 FM, and you can download a show if that's like what you'd like to do. Each week I like to talk about a topic. Over the weekend I wrote a blog, and the blog was about why businesses aren't lending or why people are having trouble getting loans. Last Thursday I went to a presentation by the Risk Management Association, and they had three bank executives from three local banks. One was from Umpqua Holdings, one was from America West Bank, and one was from Folsom Lake Bank. Presentation went for an hour and a half, and it just helped me better understand why the banks aren't lending. And basically the banks aren't lending for many reasons, but there's so much law coming through that the banks are a little bit confused with what they're supposed to do, what the regulations are. At this stage, they simply don't want the regulators looking over their shoulder and examining their books. So they're fearful of the regulators. And the regulators are confused with so much law coming through about actually what they want the banks to be doing. So I thought that was an interesting take. As one of the executives explained, for every 200 loans they approve, they have to make sure they get 199 loans right, because if they make a mistake, it could bring in the regulators, or they could lose money. And if they're losing money, they have to explain to the regulators why they're losing money. So if you're looking to get a business loan, absolutely the banks are lending. But what I took away from the presentation was that you need to go and develop a relationship with a lender and spend time with them, because at the end of the day, it's very simple. They just want to make sure you're going to repay the loan. So if you're interested in borrowing money, make sure you go and talk to your lender and develop a relationship with them. And it may mean talking to a couple of lenders to find the right lender that wants to work with you. But getting out and going, talking to a bank, they used to come and talk to you, which they will obviously do. But if you're aggressively in the market looking for funds, get up and talk to a few bankers and see what you can find. Each week I like to highlight a charity because, as I say, things aren't getting better without charities. And I haven't told my first guest this, but I'm going to talk about his charity because I know he's involved with a local charity. And I thought it'd be interesting just to very briefly just talk about that. And so I've got my first guest this morning. It's Casey Cotulla. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you for the invitation.
I'm glad to have you here. Casey and I have known each other for about 3 or 4 years, I guess. And the main reason I invited Casey to come on board was to talk about his acquisitions and what he's doing in the printing business. But as I mentioned, he is involved with a charity. You're on the board of a charity. Am I correct with that?
Yes, actually, Lily Put Children's Services.
Okay.
They have some offices here, headquartered here in Sacramento, but also serve foster adoption needs throughout the northern state. Have offices in about 9 counties, and it's a excellent, sizable organization. So yep. I'm happy to be associated with it.
And what's it called again?
Lily Put Children's Services.
Okay. And what's the primary purpose of the charity?
It serves the foster children and finding homes for them. So their program's a little unique. It's not that the parents and families that work with Lilliput are planning to adopt. So it's not just putting children into foster homes. It's training parents that are going. It's called concurrent planning, where a child that would be working and a family that would be working with Lilliput, ultimately that child would be either returned to the birth parents or would be adopted by the family that is working with Lilliput. So it's a little bit different than a standard foster environment and foster family environment, and it's different than an adoption agency. It really is getting homes and families for foster children.
Yep, yep. And obviously there's a need for that in the community right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How many on an annual basis? Any idea how many children they'd help on an annual basis?
I believe about 550. And,
wow.
And that doesn't sound like a lot when you look at, but it is a huge number of children and families that are impacted by it.
If you've got 365 days in a year and you're placing 550 children, that means every day you're placing 1.5 children.
Exactly.
So that's including weekends. So that means a lot of work's being done to put those children in good homes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Does the charity need contributions from the community or?
Sure. Much of the funding comes direct from state and county contracts, and we recently were able to buy a building as the economy turned down. It created some opportunities for us to purchase a headquarters, and so now we're back into a capital fundraising. We just had a Kentucky Derby Day event, and that had a great turnout downtown, and then we've got a bowl-a-thon, very modest, coming up later this year in the fall. So I'll kind of send some information to you about that as we get the dates lined up. But it's really an organization that's a great use of my time, and the folks that are involved in it are just tremendous, tremendous people.
Just very briefly, what's your role? You're on the board?
I'm the treasurer of all things, so I'm on the executive committee.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm told we're heading into a break, so let me cue things up for a break. And when we come back from break, I've got Casey Cotulla here this morning. He's with Delta Web Printing and River City Printers and the newly acquired Paul Baker Printing. And when we come back from break, I've got some questions about Casey and his acquisition strategies. Be back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility.
Broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Once I bring you the video, do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Control, we can see socks for miles.
I'm sorry, Lunar One, did you say socks?
Miles and miles of socks.
Like we wear on our feet.
Roger, Control. The socks appear to cover the entire dark side of the moon.
In pairs?
No, just random socks and giant, fierce mountains of dryer lint.
The search is over! Yeah!
There are some things you can search for and never ever find, but when it comes to finding a local job, SacramentoHelpWanted.com has made the search super easy and free.
Do you see any purple argyle?
Search by keywords or phrases to find hundreds of jobs in accounting, HR, recruiting, retail, or healthcare or IT, and post your resume in minutes.
Lots of tube socks and a holy cow, there is a river of knee-highs.
I guess the search is over. Check us out. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Are you sure you don't see any purple argyles?
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. My first guest this morning is Casey Catula, and Casey's a partner in Daughter Web Printing, River City Printers, and just recently Paul Baker Printing. So Casey hasn't chosen to go alone. He has a partner, and we were just talking off air before, just talking off air, and a question I had for you, Casey, is to get to where you are today, you've been an employee, so tell me a little bit about what you did before you jumped in and became a business owner.
Well, Andrew, as everyone comes to these destinations of some success or business ends through different manners. I actually started as a janitor when I was 18 out of high school, and at a printing company here in Sacramento, and essentially worked my way up from driving a forklift and driving trucks and working on equipment, and then years of customer service. And as I was telling you, I've been an employee much, much longer than I've been an owner.
Right.
And about 5 years ago, and I reached a point I was an executive with one of the nationally owned company here, a printing company locally. So I've been in the industry for almost 30 years. And with that executive experience, and had accumulated a little cash, and took out a home loan and bought into a sweat equity agreement with my a longtime friend of mine, Jim Davis, and we bought into Delta Web Printing from the founding partner there, and then proceeded over the next 3.5 years to work out a sweat equity deal where we'd incrementally increase our ownership, and then we kind of reached a magical 20% ownership spot, and then we're able to leverage into an SBA loan and executed that, and that's worked out well for us. So that was just about 2.5 years ago. And as we did that purchase, we then had also had conversations with another print owner that owned River City Printers out in Rancho Cordova, and we were able to come to an agreement and ended up finishing deals by two printing companies in the span of about 6 months 2 years ago. And that is a who would buy a printing company, but
right.
Who would buy two of them?
Yep.
But as it turned out, it was an excellent excellent space for us to be in. We're very knowledgeable about the business, about the business from a management side as well as selling. And it really has worked out tremendously for us. And we've had enough momentum to purchase another company out in Roseville, Paul Baker Printing. You get tired saying them. I get tired saying them all as well.
Yeah.
We'll eventually come with some unified name or brand. But for now, they're all separate operations running independently.
So let's break in a few things, because I find this intriguing. You'd worked for about 25 years before you decided to step into business ownership.
Yeah, near the end here of that run, I could definitely see that the people who were owners or reached an executive level, I was managing operations at that point. And the people that were successful business owners, there was no magic, no magic extra Steve Jobs halo around their head that allowed them to be successful.
I could,
and my partners could definitely see that we could absolutely do this if we accumulated the right business plan. So I was thinking of other businesses I might purchase at that point if I was going to leave the industry, and then the opportunity came to become a partner and a minority owner with a plan to how we would become eventual 50-50 owners of the company.
So it's intriguing that, as you just said, there's no halo around their head like a Steve Jobs. There's just a matter of confidence that says to yourself, I'm ready, I'm willing to take the risk, you do an analysis, and then the rest you just get on and do it.
Yeah, and it's not... The risk is, people have asked me, is you're taking a lot of risk on this, and to some degree we are, but it's a calculated risk. There's a risk in staying as an employee. There's a risk in staying exactly where you're at. So we were looking at opportunities that made sense with our skill set and with some hard work and some focus, we could make it be successful, and it really has that actually turned out even better than I could have imagined.
Yep. And that's an intriguing thing you just said. There's a calculated risk, but as you said, there's also a risk involved in being an employee, because if the economy turns south or the industry changes or whatever you're doing and you're no longer required, if you build a skill set up in a particular industry and it changes and you now have to go and reinvent yourself in a new industry, you're exposed to the same risk as a business owner. So you may as well learn the skills to be a business owner, because while you're a business owner, you're learning new skills and new confidences so that if things change, you can adapt and change with it.
Absolutely. And I was struck by, when I look back on my calendar, I was seeing that I made this jump from having a nice, well-paying job within a national corporation into becoming a business owner. And I started on April Fool's Day, 2008, and the economy just continued to collapse around me. And I'm thinking, what am I doing?
Yes.
But it really was, because I had the control, I had a real impact on our bottom line, and it was, I wasn't left to the vagaries of a larger corporation or even a marketplace that I couldn't have a bigger impact. So I am all aboard the entrepreneurship train. Yep.
Good. And you took on board a partner, which again I find interesting, because a lot of entrepreneurs, they call me and they talk to me, and I'm always very careful recommending a partnership, because you're dealing with so many things unknowns. You obviously have your own unknowns with the confidence and the skills you're building, but to bring on a partner and not know their unknowns, that just adds more risk. So talk to me about bringing on board a partner. What was the, how long was that process to have a discussion with your partner?
Well, really, he was in place with the sweat equity deal ahead of me, and he invited me in so that we could accelerate that, and the opportunity was good. But it really is the partner. There are just a few people I would count on my one hand, people I would want to be having a partnership with. But someone I'd known for a long time, I'd worked with them, so I had respect and knew how they worked, and he knew how I worked.
Yep.
We're similar as far as our financial situations, the age of our kids relatively, all those things that if you come into a partnership and one is the money guy and has the cash, or he's 20 years older and or 20 years younger, you might be at an equal point right then. But if you project how that partnership is going to look 5 years into the future, those things can change and put more pressure on the partnership to be successful. As it is, we came into it with a lot of the similar backgrounds and similar socioeconomic needs, if you will. And that has really helped us along. But it's also just working with someone I trust and respect, and someone I've worked with before. That's really probably a key as much as anything.
Yeah, that word trust, I keep hearing, it's a very important word to me. We do things with people with trust, and you have to build trust and learn trust, and that takes time. So so cool. So I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you a question. Do you have a buy-sell agreement in place with your partner?
Yes, we do.
Yes, you do. Okay. One of the things that I see too many times is calls from people that have got a business and they've got a partnership and they don't have a business buy-sell agreement. And it's one of the first things I would encourage all partners to do, because life is full of unknowns. Health issues, divorce, life happens. And so the way you define life and what happens if life hits the business is you define it in a buy-sell agreement that says, okay, this is the direction we'll go if life happens and we need to break up the partnership.
And that is important, and it becomes even more important to revisit periodically, five years, if you will. That's a good time point. And make sure that you are still on the same path that you were when you started out, because typically things will change.
Yep. So Casey's a big fan of the SBA loans. As he mentioned when he was talking before, he started with some home equity, and then he took that as a down payment. And now he's got an SBA loan that was used to fund the second purchase. Have I got that right?
No, the initial purchase of Delta Web was an SBA loan. And then we were able to assemble some capital for the other purchase. But really, in that case, printing, if you will, is not necessarily the value of the equipment, the iron, if you will, the hardware. It's really the ability to run the business into the future, so that if a seller's going to be able to be paid back over the next 8 to 10 years, they're getting the right people to purchase it so that they can make that 120th payment, and that becomes the important part. So you want people that are going to be able to run the business successfully. So it was a combination of those, but this is very different. So the first purchase, River City or Delta Web Printing, was an SBA loan, manager equity purchase, made sense in all ways. River City Printers was an asset sale where we liquidated the company. They fired the employees on a Friday. We hired them on a Monday and started from ground zero. And then Paul Baker Printing is actually another model of a C corporation where we're doing a stock purchase. Okay. And that has just a really even a different model, but the SBA isn't involved in that. So really the SBA helped us get our start with Delta Web, and that was probably the only way it would get done, from a couple shallow pocketed printers to be able to buy an ongoing profitable company.
And I'm seeing part of your strategy is that after you get to a point in time where you've owned these assets, you paid off your loans, you can sell the assets when you're ready to retire. And guess what? Your retirement's taken care of.
That's in our industry, that probably is not the case, because print is, you won't say a dying industry, but there's a decay, a horizon to what we do. Okay. So the purchases and the equipment acquisitions we might make are geared towards how does this pay off in a relatively short window, because there's a lot of changes ahead in the printing industry.
Right.
And that's why it's seen a lot of contraction.
Right.
But we've been able to be successful in a business that no one else wants to be in.
But if you, and I get that, but if you're managing your cash flow and the business is cash flowing well, when Casey's getting to a stage where he's saying, you know, it's time to go and think about doing something else, then the cash flow is what supports the value for what you've built, and that would be attractive to somebody to buy from you.
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully.
Hopefully,
okay.
Yes.
So I can see a cautious Casey
there
here.
There is a cautious, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I love that, because there's enormous risk in taking the decision to get in and step away from an executive job, 25 years industry, and then saying, okay, now it's time for Casey to put on his business ownership hat, and he's taken that risk, and it's paying off remarkably. So that's exciting. So you've just been through an impressive political season. So life has been good as a business owner in 2012 because we had all these elections. Business is continuing well in 2013?
I would expect so. We will have our biggest year ever at Delta Web, and we will see continued growth. In fact, we were just talking off air about the elections down in LA. We had a lot of election printing there through River City, and then the Paul Baker acquisition actually has a whole different class of customers. So it's a nice fit for us.
So one last question for Casey, we're heading into a break, is the post office. I think lots of people are being fairly critical of the post office right now, but I think you'd see the post office as an important service we offer in the community right now.
It is. For us, we see it as certainly vital to our business. But in the end, if you are selling products and you're trying to reach my household, per se, for example, I drive around with satellite radio and I don't click on pop-up ads and I TiVo everything on television. It's tough to reach us, but the mailbox is a continuing, reliable way to get information in front and marketing opportunities in front of people. And it's one of the few ways you can certainly do that.
So I want to thank Casey this morning for being a guest. Time has flown. But really appreciated Casey being here, because I wanted to talk about the entrepreneurial side of being in business. If you've got questions for Casey about some printing needs, he'd be more than happy to talk to you. Give him a call at River City Printers. It's 916-638-8400. And his website for Delta Web Printing is www.deltawebprinting.com. And I'll stop there because there's too many other websites. And Casey, thanks for being a guest this morning.
Thanks a lot, Andrew.
Okay, and we'll come back from break and I'll introduce my second guest to you, RJ Cicchetti from Massage Heights. Thanks, Casey, for being here.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Stocks are rallying as the day's economic data comes in better than expected. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Charlie Pellett. Consumer confidence is now at the highest since 2008, and home values jumped the most in 7 years. Bloomberg's Michael McKee says the next big event for investors is the June 18th Federal Reserve meeting.
They want the GDP growth to tell them that the job growth is sustainable. We have to get through the June jobs report. We get a good June jobs report, then everybody is going to start talking about the Fed tapering again. Yeah. And maybe they start building it into their calculations, although it's probably a little early.
Tiffany is reporting first quarter profit that topped analyst estimates, led by demand in Asia. Shares are up the most in 9 months. Tiffany rallying 4.1%. The yield on the 10-year, 2.13%. Dow Industrials up 154 points, a gain of 1% to 15,457. We've got the S&P 500 index up 15 points to 1664, a gain of 0.9%. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility.
Broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Bring you the video. Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Control, we can see socks for miles.
I'm sorry, Lunar One, did you say socks?
Miles and miles of socks.
Like we wear on our feet.
Roger, Control. The socks appear to cover the entire dark side of the moon.
In pairs?
No, just random socks and giant, fierce mountains of dryer lint.
The search is over! Yeah!
There are some things you can search for and never ever find, but when it comes to finding a local job,
SacramentoHelpWanted.com has made the search super easy and free.
Do you see any purple argyle?
Search by keywords or phrases to find hundreds of jobs in accounting, HR, recruiting, retail, or healthcare or IT, and post your resume in minutes.
Lots of tube socks and a holy cow, there is a river of knee-highs.
I guess the search is over. Check us out. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Are you sure you don't see any purple argyles?
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. My first guest this morning was Casey Catula, and he's from Delta Web Printing, River City Printers in Rancho Cordova, and a newly acquired business they bought in Roseville called Paul Baker Printing. So it was interesting to talk to Casey because he's come from the ground up, being an employee for 25 years and then deciding that it was time for him to become a business owner. And my second guest this morning is with a company called Massage Heights, and he has a great name, RJ Cicchetti. I love saying that, RJ Cicchetti. So, RJ, are you there?
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well for Tuesday. How are you doing?
Very good. I hope your weekend was well.
It was full of work, but that's what small business owners do, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
So you're a regional developer with Massage Heights. Have I got that right?
Yes, sir.
And what does a regional developer do as opposed to a non-regional developer?
What a regional developer's role is to sell franchises for the franchisor and then help consult the franchisee to help them get through the growing pains and the beginning pains of opening their own business.
So I love that. So it's the franchisor putting in local support for potential franchisees or those that choose to become a franchise owner, and you're the guy on the spot to help ease the way for the new franchise owner. And what are some of the things you do? What are some of the typical things a regional developer would do?
Well, one of the things we're going to do after the franchisee becomes a franchisee, we're going to help them. We're going to help them find a location and give them help in the lease negotiation and make sure that they're, you know, finding a location that's going to be profitable and that meets massage site's specific criteria. And from there, then it's, you know, more of a consultant role in helping, you know, giving them information on how to hire massage therapists, where to look for massage therapists, what exactly is a good massage therapist versus one that you might not want in your retreat, and that type of thing.
Yep, and that's great. So for somebody thinking of becoming into the franchise industry, this is great support. You're providing all that support, and you're helping flatten the learning curve and making them more successful. Does that make sense?
Yes, it really does.
Yeah. So tell me, what's happening in the massage industry? There's lots of changes there, or is the industry settling down?
Well, no, you know, the industry right now is in a really growing pattern. For example, 10 years ago, there was about 500 to 550 massage therapy schools across the country. Today, we probably have about 1,700 massage therapy schools across the country. It's an incredibly fast-growing industry for massage therapy. In 2013, we're expected to grow at a rate of over 20%. So that means that finding good quality massage therapists is going to be one of the most important things we can do. Also, attracting them to our business is another thing that is very, very important. Massage Heights does that well. We have benefits offered to our employees, and it allows us to attract, you know, maybe a little different breed of massage therapist, somebody with a little more experience and a desire to, you know, be in a company that does offer benefits and is looking out for their employees.
So you have a location in Roseville. Is Roseville any place that you have a location that you own and operate?
My wife and I own and operate Roseville, and we own and operate a Folsom retreat. And on June 1st, we will be opening a grand opening for our Davis retreat.
So it's all happening in Northern California then, is that right?
Yes.
So you're building out these locations that that you and Terry own, and how many other locations are there in the Northern California area?
Well, right now we had a franchisee open in Town and Country about 3-4 weeks ago. They're doing a fantastic job. That's in the Marconi and Fulton.
Fulton. Yep.
And then we have another one opening in Natomas, probably in about 2.5-3 weeks. They are right there on Del Paso and are in an incredible area, so they're going to have a fantastic opportunity there. And then we have sold Reno, and they should be opening within the next 90 days. And Fresno is on the horizon. We have some negotiations going on there, which could bring anywhere from 2 to 8 massage heights locations in that area.
So lots of activity. How close do you typically like each location to be? Is there a metric that you try and look at when you're trying to work out a good location for a massage heights store?
Well, in the franchise agreement, there's a protection. There's a certain protection agreement. We personally like to stay within, you know, a 3-4 mile radius away from another massage height. But the way the market works is, I would much rather have a massage height in our area versus a competitor. So it allows us to create a lot bigger and stronger market share. So really having one, you know, 2.5-3 miles away isn't going to be a negative. It's going to be more of a positive, which will allow each franchisee to, you know, have a stronger market share in that area.
So if somebody's listening and they're thinking, hey, this is interesting, I'd like some more information, what's the typical process you go through to talk to a franchise buyer and tell me a little bit of, I'll break it down to different questions, but just at a simple level, what's the if you get an inquiry from a franchise buyer, what's some of the first steps you take with an inquiry when you get it?
Well, the first step we do is make contact with the prospective franchisee, give them a little bit of information about Massage Heights, what we do and how we do it. Then we would ask a little information about themselves, find out how serious they are and what time frame they're wanting to go ahead and get their business opened in. In other words, are they looking to open a business within the next 90 days to 6 months, or is this something they're thinking about maybe a year or two down the road? If it's a year or two down the road, we're going to give them a lot of information about Massage Heights and find out why they're wanting a year or two down the road, and then maybe let that sit for a bit. The one that wants to be open within 90 days to 6 months then would be put in a process where we would go ahead and get some financials from them, figure out how serious and they are, take them through what Massage Heights has to offer and what you can expect with the Massage Heights. Then from that point, we would go through a due diligence process with them where they would go ahead and do their homework and investigate Massage Heights, find out what franchisees of Massage Heights have to say about Massage Heights. And then from that direction, then they would go to an observation day at our corporate office, which is in San Antonio, Texas. And then from there, they would, if they decide to move forward, become franchisees by signing the franchise agreement. And hopefully within 90 days to 120 days after that, they have a location picked out and a building to be started.
So the length of time it would take somebody, when they first make their inquiry, to having their store up and running, how long would that be roughly?
It could be anywhere from 4 to about 4 to 8 months,
okay,
depending on exactly how they're going to do it and what they're doing. If they're getting involved with the SBA, for example, it might be a tiny bit slower process. We are on the SBA registry, so that streamlines the borrowing process for them. But it still is going to slow it up a little bit rather than having the capital on hand.
And that's an important thing you mentioned for me. Part of my job is finding potential franchise candidates. And one of the things I'm looking for when I'm recommending a franchise to a franchise buyer is to make sure the franchise concept is on the franchise registry, because that approval just helps speed things along and gives you confidence that somebody's taking out a loan to buy into a franchise concept that's been looked at by different lenders, and they're comfortable with it, with the business model that's been put together, and that really helps give confidence and speed things along.
Yes, it really does. In fact, we have a bank out of Texas right now that has found amazing success with Massage Heights and are streamlining the loans pretty quickly. They're doing a lot of them, and really not only SBA loans but conventional loans is what they're offering for Massage Heights, because they found the concept to be incredible and they love what they're doing so far with it. So it makes it really nice to have a lender like that is lending nationwide, not just in Texas.
Yep.
So it's a big, big plus right now in the financial part, in financing and getting the, you know, financing for the business. It's a huge plus.
Yep. I love what you just said there. I, at the top of the show, I was mentioning I went to a CEO bank forum last Thursday, put on by the Risk Management Association, and there was three CEOs from local banks, and they were talking about lending money and the risks involved in doing that. And one of the things I picked up is that banks are looking to lend money where they feel comfortable. And so this bank in Texas you've just described, they've found a niche. They like the Massage Heights business model, and they're very comfortable lending to the right candidates. And it's a safe market for them. So we've got to hit to break. AJ, hang on for me. We come back from break. I've got some more questions for you. So my second guest this morning is AJ Cecchetti. He's with Massage Heights. And when we come back from break, I've got some more questions for AJ.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now
on Money 2.0.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
The Expert Radio Network is proud to present The Mind Aware with Dana Wild. Learn how to master the power of your mind more effectively. Experience Dana's free training now at theexpertradionetwork.com. Enter the code word AWARE or text the word AWARE to 72727. That's theexpertradionetwork.com. Enter the code word AWARE or text the word AWARE to 72727. Join today's thought leaders on the Expert Radio Network, Monday to Friday at 1 p.m. on Sacramento's new Money 105.5.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0. Money Experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is RJ Cecchetti with Massage Heights. And RJ and his wife, Terry, have some locations in Roseville, Davis, and where's the third one?
Folsom.
Folsom, thank you. Yeah, I knew it was there somewhere. I'd written it down somewhere, and I couldn't find where I'd written it down. So, RJ, tell me a little bit about the experience. If somebody is to come in as a customer or as a guest, I presume you call them to Massage Heights. Just tell me a little bit about the experience they have.
Okay, when you come into a Massage Heights, generally speaking, we look to our guests to find out what their expectations are of their visit. In other words, are they coming to us for more of a therapeutic reason? Do they have some neck and shoulder pains, headaches, lower back pains, aches and pains? Our goal is to find out why they're coming to get that massage today, and from that point, meet their expectations. What are they looking to get out of the massage? How do they want to feel when they're done, or do they have more intent from it? Do they want to use massage as what it is, more of a therapeutic remedy to feel better and enhance your lifestyle? So we find out all this information, then we meet their needs with the proper therapist. And that's very important that we get the proper therapist that's going to be able to meet their needs and give them the best experience possible.
So that's interesting. So you do have guests that come in with different needs. The perception is they've come in for a massage, but there's more to it than that.
Oh, most definitely. They're coming in for all different reasons across the spectrum.
And so part of the challenge you have is as you mentioned before, is finding the right therapist that can have the right skills and have the ability to meet those customers' needs.
Oh, most definitely. Therapists right now are an incredible breed of people. They love touching and feeling and helping people feel better. And with that, when you match the right therapist to the right guest, it's an incredible experience. They have an incredible experience, and they then can understand why the massage is going to be beneficial to them in the future. Because in all honesty, we are a membership-based concept. And with the membership comes a lot of benefits as well as a purpose. And I think that's the most important thing. A lot of people are using massage today as kind of a preventative health. You know, they've maybe lost their jobs, they're in between jobs, or they're in between health care, and they're using that as more of something to keep them healthier. It detoxifies your body. It does a lot of different things for you. So it enables them to maybe deal with the stresses of everyday life a little bit better and, make it to that next position a little quicker.
So what's the typical visit? Would it be for an hour or for 30 minutes to an hour? Is that right?
Oh, no, it's all over the spectrum. You can come in. Most people come in for an hour. 90 minutes is getting very, very popular. In fact, that's one of our most popular memberships right now is our 90-minute membership with an elevation that we do. And it allows people really to come in and get a very good therapeutic massage, get in some good body work, and leave really feeling the benefits of that massage.
And so if somebody came in for a 90-minute session, how often would they come? Once a week, once every 2 weeks?
Well, we have guests that come in once a week, all the way to once a month. with the membership, it allows you to come in, you know, once a month with the membership. And then if you want to come back any other times, you come back at 50% off the regular price. So it gives you a fantastic value as well. If you have a need to get a couple or three massages a month, it allows you to do that very inexpensively. In a lot of cases, you'll pay, if you come in two or three times a month with us, you put at a day spa, for example, that might be more into the relaxation side of it and, you know, just a one-time visit.
So you mentioned that you're a membership-based concept. So what does the membership mean?
The membership allows the guests to come in. They have a monthly membership. We have five different memberships, so we can tailor-fit a membership to their needs. It deals with massage and skin treatments as well. We do facials as well. And it allows them to find a membership package that's going to meet their needs. And in doing that, all they need to do is commit to coming in one time a month and take care of themselves. And that is the key. If you can find somebody that really wants to take care of themselves and feel the benefit of massage and allow themselves to do that 3, 4, 5, 6 months and more regularly, you will feel a difference. There are amazing benefits behind it. And myself personally, I've been through incredible differences in my life with massage over the last 4.5 years.
And what's the starting price of a membership plan? How do they price? You mentioned there's about five plans. How do they range in prices?
Starting price starts at $59 and goes up to $129, and that would be for a massage and a facial a month.
Okay.
Custom facial and a massage every month for $129.
Okay. And then if somebody wants to come more regularly, if somebody wanted to come twice a month, what would the membership plan be for twice a month?
Oh, if they want to come twice a month, let's say they come in and get a second massage that month,
yep,
they can come in and get the second massage for $49.99.
Wow, okay, good, okay. And that's a 60-minute massage then, is that right?
Yeah.
Cool, okay. So it's, you know, the costs are very reasonable.
Yeah.
So if somebody's listening and they're thinking, hey, this is interesting, you know, being a franchisee and working in the massage industry, what do you think makes a successful franchisee with Massage Heights? What are some of the things that they would want to bring with them to set themselves up for success?
Well, what we look for in a franchisee is somebody with a lot of energy, enthusiasm, as well as some business background, or just a desire to take the next level. And I think it is, you know, we've all worked for people in our lives and sometimes you go to work and they don't need you anymore, or the company's gone out of business or something like that. So we're looking for people that want to take care of themselves and their future and their family. And the Massage Heights family really is an incredible family. It offers a lot of opportunities, and the concept itself with the membership base gives you residual income every month. So you don't have to wait for somebody to walk in your door that month. You can actually, you know, you're on the residual income part, the membership part. It gives you an opportunity really to grow a very fast business, taking care of people, meeting their needs, but also have a little bit more security in the knowledge that money's coming in every day.
So, if somebody's looking at a franchise opportunity, they can get a single unit, or I presume if they can buy multi units, and there'd be a discount over the single unit. So, and then they can choose to be like you; they can be an area developer. So, there's different opportunities in the franchise model. What's any idea what the costs are to buy in a single unit?
Oh yeah. From the franchise fee is $42,000. So the initial investment could be anywhere from $225,000 all the way up to about $500,000, depending on how big your space is and where you're building out. Now, you take that $225,000 to $500,000, and then you subtract your tenant improvement allowances from that. And a lot of times it's a very nice end number that you can get in for.
Right.
It just depends. The tenant improvement allowances are all over the place. They're different with everybody. But that really helps your investment go down. And the centers right now are really aggressively seeking out Massage Heights.
and we have been finding that we're getting great tenant allowances, and it really does help bring down the cost of the initial investment.
So if a franchise, someone's interested in buying in at a franchise level, what sort of down payment would they do? Would they need? You mentioned before they can get an SBA loan. What sort of down payment would they need to be up and running with a Massage Heights franchise?
Well, what the SBA likes to see is about 30% in. So in other words, if it's a $300,000 investment, they're going to see about $100,000. That's about it. They want anywhere from 25 to 30% down and maybe a little knowledge of the industry or in retail itself.
Yep, fantastic. So just in simple numbers, if they've got $100,000, some knowledge of the industry and the ability and the wherewithal to get into, to become a business owner, they're on their way to opening up their Massage Heights franchise location.
Yes.
Yep. And how big's your territory? You're an area developer here for Northern California. How big's your territory?
We're Northern California and part of Nevada. Our territory starts at Bakersfield, California, goes up the Central Valley, all the way to the Oregon border, Chico, all the way through Benicia, and then back through Sacramento area, up to Reno, Carson City, and Lake Tahoe.
Okay. Jay, I've got to leave it there. Time's run out. Look, appreciate so much you being on the phone this morning with me and talking to me about Massage Heights. Thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for having us, and have a great day.
Okay, thanks again. So we just wrapped up the show. My first guest this morning was Casey Catula with River City Printers and Delta Web Printing and Paul Baker Printing, all over the place with printing. If you've got some printing needs, give Casey a call, 916-638-8400. My second guest was RJ Cecchetti, and he's the area developer with Massage Heights. If you've got questions about getting into Massage Heights, you're welcome to give me a call, 916-494-9800, and I can connect you with RJ. You're welcome to visit their website if you want more information, www.massageheights.com. My guest next week, I've got a lady from downtownsacramento.org. So she'll be a guest and talking about free accommodation or free downtown rental.